time for Israel is Real. Two Israelis putting a human face on all things Israel. Rahel and Sonia focus on life in modern 21st century Israel, telling the stories of ordinary people living in, loving, and in support of an extraordinary land. Israel is Real is a community-supported program featuring interviews with local, national, and international celebrities, personal life stories, and call-ins. Learn a new Hebrew word every week. Israel is Real. Every Friday on 1590 WSMN. Nashua's News and Talk. And now, your hosts, Rahel and Sonia.
Hi, we're Rahel.
And Sonia.
And this is Israel is Real, the free voice for Israel. Boker tov lekol ha-mazinim.
Tzoraim tovim b'Yisrael.
From WSMN 1590, Nashua's News and Talk. You can also listen on the internet at WSMNradio.com, www.WSMNradio.com. Boker tov, Sonia.
Boker tov.
Sheleg.
Yeah.
Snow.
Snow.
Again, just when and we snow. Thought it was becoming springtime, we had hopes.
Okay.
Yeah. How are you, George, today?
Good. Just like you, disappointed that it's snowing out. And I like Sonia's new hairstyle, too. I do.
She's
Speak
giving
about
you a
this
look
after the show.
Well, it's a beautiful white day, yeah. I will say. It is beautiful. Very beautiful. So, speaking of white, let's learn about our Hebrew word.
Or, and this is not about light.
It is about
it's not about snow,
white.
It's not about
white.
It's about light. And the meaning of or, it's actually light, and it's coming from Or HaTorah, the light of the Torah. And or, it's also a name that usually the parents are giving to a child in order to show their happiness.
I'm smiling.
And also, they are trying maybe to, they are hoping that the child will also light the entire society with his own spirituality, his own wonderful skills, etc. And that's it.
That's really a beautiful word. I love that word, or. Let's hear a song about or.
Okay.
By Shoshana Damari.
Oh, Shoshana Damari, yeah.
אדם רחוק זוכרת, כן, אני זוכרת, ולא אחדל ולא אשנות. אור שמבשר את ההשכמה והזריחה, זוכרת כבר, לראות עוד פעם יותר מזה איני צריכה. שמש, אביב שמש, נמשמי ורומני.
Or by Shoshana Damari.
Or Batzoraim.
And we have a good reason for speaking about Or today.
Right.
We have a wonderful guest today, this week, in the studio with us, for a change. Or, Aya Dagan, was born in Israel, in a town called Ra'anana, and she grew up in a place called Ma'ale Tzvia, which is in the Galil, or the Galilee. She has a BA in social work from Tel Chai College, and has been interested in education from a very young age. So she worked as a volunteer in her city schools with children of all ages, or was a counselor in two JCCs, which are Jewish community centers, in their summer day camps in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, which is the sister city of her hometown, which was Ma'ale Tzvia. And before becoming a shlicha, which is the word for emissary, she was a member of the Ayalim Association, which is a branch of the supported by the Jewish Agency, and she was working to strengthen the Negev and the Galilee,
Galilee.
The Galilee. I'm stumbling on that word. So we introduce to you today, Or Aya Dagan. Boker tov, Or.
Boker tov.
Nice to have you in the studio.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
We've been working with you a little bit throughout the year. You arrived, I think, in late August, September. to fulfill your mission. And I wonder if you could tell us, you're the Israeli shlicha here in New Hampshire, the emissary, and if you could tell us, first of all, what shlicha means and what is the nature of your work.
So Shlicha is a program sponsored by the Jewish Agency and the Jewish Federations around the world. In the U.S., we have about 100 volunteer shlichim, which is what I do. We go to schools, to Hebrew schools, to synagogues. We talk to people about Israel. The main idea, the main goal is to show Israel from a more personal way, different than what we usually see in the news. I'm not here to talk about politics. And
thank goodness. I think they do enough of that.
Yes, there's an ambassador for that. There are other people that know better. I'm here really to talk about my personal experiences from Israel and show really the real life of Israel.
Excellent. Excellent.
And can you give us a sample of a day in the life? What does a typical day look like for you when you are working for the shlicha?
The beautiful thing that I love most about this job is that it's really changing every day, every week.
Especially when it's snowing, right?
Yes. So I have some office hours, which is usually answering to mails and phone calls, talking to people in the community, and also preparing my classes and talks. I go to Hebrew schools, so that's usually on Sunday and in the afternoon. I go to the synagogues, that's usually Fridays and Saturdays. So my week is really
packed, full,
7 days a week. But the thing is, it doesn't feel like a job. It doesn't feel like, of course, I don't get paid for it, so that helps. But also, it doesn't feel like a job that I have to do. It feels like that's a way of life that I want to have. Going around, talking to people, knowing new people. You can't really count how many hours I do in this job because it doesn't. Most of it is. It's very hard to say if it's if I enjoy doing it, if it's part of my life, or if it's part of my job. For example, one big thing that we do this year, we have a young adults group, which is for all Jewish people from in their 20s and 30s. So a young adult event. That's my pleasure. I enjoy being there. I am a young adult. I'm part of this group, but it's also part of my job. So it's in between my life and my pleasure and my job, which is really a great benefit and a great, great thing that I get from this.
Right, you get a chance to sort of integrate socialize. I'm not doing well today. Socializing and work, which is really fun.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. And it's probably really important to have the young adult group because I wonder how often they get to mingle with other Jewish people, especially in New Hampshire.
I think the young adults is big question in not just in the Jewish community. It's a big question in every community today. Churches will tell you the same thing, that the young people don't come anymore. And we try to give them a way to connect to their Jewish friends and their Jewish community without feeling the pressure of going to synagogue or being part of the traditionally Jewish community that they somehow don't feel that they are part of it anymore.
Mm-hmm. Right, which is a good aspect for them to see, a good part of Jewish life and socializing is really nice. I wonder what made you decide to take on this work as a shlicha?
All my life I loved Israel. I grew up, my parents taught me to love Israel by going to hikes and seeing different parts of the country and talking to a lot of people and meeting a lot of new people every day. And it's just natural for me, because being here is expressing my love to Israel in the deepest way that you can have. And it's really incredible, because that's one of the main things I learned this year, and actually just recently, that the more you do for your country, the more you feel connected to it. And the more you feel connected to it, the more you want to do. So the more I talk about Israel here, and the more I see people that are interested in Israel, the more I love Israel and the more I want to do for Israel.
I'm glad that you say that, because, you know, I also work in Sonia. We both work as teachers also. And I've found, at least for me, I don't know for you, Sonia, but the more I teach about Israel and the more I teach Hebrew and talk about Jewish life, the more I feel connected to it too. So it really does make a difference.
Yes.
Yeah. Did you?
Do I have the same feeling? I think that, yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And the perspective, you are changing perspective when you are out from Israel. In the second that you are out from Israel, you are changing your perspective and you are seeing the entire connection, you know, the global connection. And you really understand how small is this place, not when you are living inside, but when you are out. And the you know, it's maybe a metaphor, but when I am looking to the globe and I am seeing how the name of Israel, it's going into the Mediterranean Sea, it's telling us the entire truth. It's not that Israel, it's a long, long, long name. It's a small name, and the land, it's even smaller than the letters.
And speaking of light, it seems to be very becoming a light. But we won't go that direction.
Always a light, yes. Or were you interested in learning more about the Jews in America? Because when you are speaking about the love that you have for Israel, it's one side of the same thing. You are loving Israel and you are loving the nation of Israel. So from this love, you came here to know more about the Jews in America. So what is your approach and what you have learned from them, from this community?
It's very different to be Jewish in Israel and to be Jewish in the diaspora, in the rest of the world. I think that I learn, like I said, about how much people love Israel here and how much being connected to Israel connects between the people here. And maybe it's one of the things that connects between the Jewish people here, having this love to Israel and this connection to Israel. And this is one of my ways to approach the Jewish people here. I learned that in Israel, it's in a way easier to be Jewish, but also harder to be Jewish, because the way I grew up, we never went to a synagogue. We light the candles on Friday evening, but we don't do a lot of the traditional, but I would say more religious aspect of tradition, because we do celebrate the holidays in my family in a more traditional way and less religious. Mm-hmm. And here, if you don't go to a synagogue and you don't participate in services and in the community or congregation life, then you can forget very easily who you are and where you come from.
Right.
And I appreciate the people here very much for that, for this effort that they do. And it makes me want to do this effort as well and really do the effort to remember that I am Jewish, because being born in Israel and speaking Hebrew, it's not enough. And I want to do more I'm not saying I want to be religious now, but I do want to do a little more to remember and to appreciate this amazing history that we have of thousands of years.
You're right.
Yeah, I think that you make a good point, because I'm not sure that people in Israel realize how difficult it is to be Jewish and to maintain your identity and your lifestyle as a Jew when you're outside of Israel. And I think you're right. That is one of the things that being here does make you realize, that you obviously didn't realize before, that it is very difficult. We have to make a great effort to maintain our identity and to become involved in our Judaism, in our being as a Jew. So I'm glad you brought that up.
Yes, it's interesting to see that many shlichim, when they come back to Israel after this year or 2 years, they feel more connected to the Jewish religion. So they go to synagogue more often, really? And yeah, they observe more of the Jewish way of life. So
wonderful.
Yeah, this I could say it is interesting. And judging from my own experience, if I could say for a moment that when I lived in Israel, I too was more on the secular, although I did dabble a little bit with religion. But being here, when I have to be in synagogue all the time, I'm very connected to that. I had to learn how to be a synagogue Jew, truthfully, and learn the prayers and the, you know, the rituals. And it does make you more connected to that lifestyle. And you do kind of learn to appreciate it in a different way than you did in Israel.
Yeah.
So it's a different sides of Israeli life and different sides of being Jewish. It's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
We have a few more minutes. I wanted to maybe get started on a little bit. You have a very interesting personal life, and we're glad that you're happy to share some of it with us. If you want to start a little bit talking about some of the aspects of your personal life.
Okay, we'll start.
With your grandmom.
With my grandmother? Okay. So
your great aunt also.
Yes, her sister. So my grandmother is about to turn 90 in a month. Oh. So that's that's very exciting. In the 30s, she was a swimmer. She was a beginner. She was not very good swimmer, but she was part of the Hakoach Vina, which is the Austrian Jewish sport team. They started this Jewish sport team after the other sport team didn't let Jews in, so they started their own team, and my grandmother and her sister were part of it. So her sister was a really, really good swimmer. She was rated 7th in the world and 1st in Austria in the early 30s. And she was asked or chosen by the Austrian government to represent Austria in the Olympic Games in 1936 in Berlin. And after a lot of struggling and thinking about it, she decided she's not going, because her words are that in a place that say dogs and Jews are not allowed in, she's not going to swim. Mm-hmm. So she gave up her entire career for her decision. And I think, yes, that was a very, very brave decision for a 17-year-old to decide to give up her entire sport career or swim career for that thing. And
for the principle that you
for have. The principle, yes, exactly. And then they escaped. My grandmother's family managed to escape just before the Anschluss, before Germany took over Austria. And in the beginning of 2000, a young Israeli director, movie director, decided, he heard about the sport team and the swim team of the Hakoach, and he decided to make a movie about it. The movie is called Watermarks, And for me, it's one of the very few documentaries that I can watch. I don't like documentaries so much, but this is one of the very few that I do like. And it's not just about my grandmother and her sister, but it's about the entire sports or swim team. And he took six swimmers back to Vienna. Most of them never visited Vienna
again
since the war. And they brought them all together, and they took them to the big swimming pool where they used to practice as teenagers. And it's a very exciting scene at the end of the movie when they all put on their swimsuits that were made especially for them, just like the ones they had in the 30s. And they swim in this big swimming pool in this beautiful, beautiful building. So it's a very special part of our family. I don't swim.
As a result.
I don't know if it's a result, but I don't swim.
I'm not swimming either. You know, yeah. You are getting wet. Who knows?
Yeah. But it's a very big part of our family history. And my grandmother, she's still a main character in our family, holding the entire family together.
At 90.
Yes.
And wonderful. I know that we have only a few
seconds.
Yes,
yeah.
But I want, if you can tell our listeners, what happened with your great aunt?
Well,
why she,
you know,
didn't
what, Sonia, let's save that till after the break. We'll keep our listeners in suspense. What do you say? Well, we're going to cut for a break. We're speaking with Or Aya Dagan. She's the Israeli emissary in New Hampshire, and this is WSMN 1590, and this is Israel is Real.
שום מקום אחר בעולם כאן ביתי פה אני שיחקתי בשפלה אשר על גב ההר כאן מן הבל שתיתי מים ושתלתי דשא במדבר ושתלתי דשא במדבר מסע לילי כאן בנעוריי אני הגעתי.
This is WSMN 1590 and this is Israel is Real with Rachel and Sonia. We'd like to remind you to keep your donations coming. Our show exists thanks to you and all you do to support us. So you may write a check to Absolute Broadcasting and send it to our personal address at Israel is Real, P.O. Box 236, Milford, New Hampshire, 03055. Again, write checks to Absolute Broadcasting. Send it to our personal post office box at Israel is Real, P.O. Box 236, Milford, New Hampshire, 03055. You can also visit our website to learn more about us and listen to archived interviews at www.israelisraelnh.com, Israel is Real New Hampshire, and israelisraelnh.com. You can email us with questions or with ideas. We'd love to talk to you and hear from you at israelisrael1590@gmail.com, israelisrael1590@gmail.com. And we'd like to remind you there was a big fire in Israel and to always donate to the JNF, the Jewish National Fund, www.jnf.org.
Vision. Did you know that Vision is an organization that educates our community about the little country of Israel? Did you know Israel is approximately about the size of New Jersey? And did you know what are only few Israeli inventions? For example, the cell phone, the first time was invented in Israel, and it was Motorola Israel. Was a big, big cell phone. I remember him. Do you remember? Oh, did you know that the Windows NT operating system was made by Microsoft Israel? Did you know the technology for AOL Instant Messenger was also invented in 1996 by Israel? It called then ICQ, Mirabel. Did you know that the first PC antivirus software was invented also in Israel? In order to receive Vision's emails alert and be informed about Vision educational activities and opportunities, please visit Vision's website at www.newhampshireforisrael.org. That's www.newhampshirenh4israel.org.
And the patent and trademark law firm of Vern Main & Associates, a local firm with a global practice, is pleased to announce its new office location at 547 Amherst Street in Nashua, and on the web at www.vernmaine.com, vernmaine.com. For professional legal counseling on all intellectual property matters, contact the legal specialist at Vern Main & Associates at their offices again on 547 Amherst Street, 547 Amherst Street in Nashua, New Hampshire. Again on the web at vernmaine.com, www.vernmaine.com.
And Rachel is spreading beautiful music across the globe. Yes, it's the same Rachel which is speaking with you. To hear Rachel's unique sound and to book Rachel to perform for you live, go to www.rachelmusic.net, which is www.rachelmusic.net.
And we'll be right back with Or Aya Dagan, the Israeli emissary in New Hampshire. And we're back with Israel is Real, WSMN 1590, and I'm Rachel.
And Sonia.
And we're talking today with Or Aya Dagan. She's the Israeli emissary to New Hampshire and coming to us from Israel, but today live in the studio working here with us in New Hampshire. Or, you were telling us about some of your personal stories, and we were talking about your grandmother. Tell us again, just to remind us, and Sonia was asking a question. We were keeping our listeners in suspense, so we'll hear what it was.
About your great aunt.
So, as I said, my grandmother and her sister were both swimmers in the 1930s in Austria. And after...
This is pre-Nazi Germany.
Sure.
Right? Yes. Yeah. Yes, it was the beginning of the terrible times, but it was just the beginning when they still lived there. And my grandmother's sister, my great aunt, decided not to participate not to represent Austria in the Nazi Olympic Games in 1936. And after that, the Austrian government decided to suspend her from ever swimming or ever competing again in Austria. And later on, when Germany took over Austria, they also took her name out of all the records of Austria.
Wow.
And took away all her medals and everything. All the records that she broke before, it was all, her name was gone from all the books and history. About 10 years ago, 60 years later, a young sport minister in Austria somehow heard about her and about her story, and he contacted her, and he asked her if she would come to Austria to get her rewards back and to, of course, to say how sorry they are. Yeah.
Right.
And she said, I'm not going anywhere. If you want, you come here.
Good for her. Good
so
for her.
So they did. There was a small delegation that came from Austria and gave her back her medals and her honor, really.
Right. They recognized her accomplishments and what she had to offer.
Yes.
And could you tell us her name and your grandmother's name?
So my grandmother is Hani Lux. And, well, their name is Deutsch, their maiden name.
Yes.
And her sister is Judith Deutsch. And they're both in the Watermarks movie.
Now, the Watermarks movie you've been showing at various places here in New Hampshire. And I understand it's available online. Do you know the website?
I don't know where, but it's also in the Federation Library, in the Jewish Federation Library. And right now we're showing it around, but once we finish showing it around, it's available for people to take home and watch.
Probably if you Google Watermarks, yes, the movie or something like that, watermarksthemovie.com, maybe watermarks.com. I'm sure our listeners can find it. I highly recommend it. I've seen it. And it's a fascinating account, really. And to see pre-war Europe is also really, really exciting, actually, and to see what was going on there. Because mostly we hear only about the war times, but to understand what was going on before the war was very interesting.
Yes.
Yes. And would you like to tell us more about your life, about your experiences? Because this is one of the experiences that your family have.
So, like Rachel said before, I was born in Ra'anana, in the central area in Israel. And when I was 1 year old, my parents decided that they want to do something meaningful for the country and for themselves. And there were seven families, friends, that decided to move to a small village in the north. It was an empty hill that used to be a training area for army in live fire. So we still have some leftovers from that. We still find sometimes. The British used to train there, and then the Israeli army as well. So we were seven families. We moved there, really deserted place, far away from everywhere, the end of the world, really. And today we have
pioneers.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly, yes. My parents are true pioneers. I was only a baby. I didn't have anything to do with it.
but that's very brave to move into the middle of nowhere with a baby, too.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
You did good.
And now we have 95 families in the village. Wonderful. It's growing. And we talked earlier about young adults, so somehow this village attracts young people and young families, and there are more and more young people that want to be part of this village. It's a very special village, very spiritual.
The name?
Ma'ale Tzvia.
Where exactly is it located, or thereabouts? It's in the north, in the Galil.
It's in the Galil, next to the town Carmiel. It's where it's... perfect location, really, because it's 1 hour from the Mediterranean Sea, 1 hour from the Kinneret, the Sea of Galilee, 1 hour from the Lebanese border. So we have all the beauty of the north, but we are far enough from the border to not to have any problems ever. So, yes, yeah. It's really a very good location, very beautiful.
And I understand you have some interesting family members besides your grandmother.
Yes. So being part of the Israeli society, the Israeli community, I think each one of us knows someone that was killed or injured in one of our wars. Unfortunately, we all were part of the army and had to fight in some war. Each one of us remembers at least one war in their lifetime. So my father, in his army time, in his service, after about half a year that he was in service, it was 73 Yom Kippur War, and he had to go fight in the north, and they went into a minefield, his unit, and one of the people from his unit somehow lost the way and was captured in the middle of the minefield, was stopped in the middle of the minefield. And my father was the first one from his unit to go and try to get him back to the group. Halfway back, he stepped on a mine, and today has half of his foot, half of his right foot. He has percentage of disability, but he's not disabled. He's a very strong person. And I never saw him as a disabled person or a person with disability, because he does everything. He's building houses and building wood stoves and fireplaces. And he was also always very handy. And this was his job, always to build things and to climb on roofs. And so he was never... I never thought of him as someone with disability, because you don't see it. You know, your dad has half a foot, but it's, you know, it doesn't affect life.
I often think, I've worked often with people with disabilities and children with disabilities, and I came to realize that really the ones who are disabled are us, the ones who are not disabled, but we are actually more disabled than they are, because we put a stereotype or a stigma on them as if they can't do anything, but they who live with this can do everything, and they're not disabled at all.
Yeah.
I think it's very interesting. And we're speaking with Or Ayadagan, our Israeli emissary in New Hampshire, and I believe you have a story about your brother?
Yes. So... I'll start by saying that I have two parents that are still together.
Mazel tov, that's a major accomplishment.
Yes, it's rare these days, unfortunately. They're married 27 years now. And I'm 25, my sister is 21, and my brother, our little brother, is 8. Now people say, wow, that's a big difference, big gap between you. And Israelis are less politically correct than Americans. So they tend to have all kind of comments about it. And usually I say, yeah, my parents waited and, you know, he's a present. And yes, he was planned and, you know, for all the questions. But and the truth is that, yes, he was planned maybe more than any other child. Because for 2 years we were in a process of finding a brother for our family. And we were his foster family for 5 years. And about a year ago, we adopted him. He got to our family when he was 2 years old. And actually, in a week, we're going to celebrate 6 years with him.
Wow. Nice.
Yes. I think that's looking at my parents is really a great example for me, because this act of deciding to be a foster family is the most altruistic thing that can ever happen or you can ever imagine, because there's nothing personal about it, and it's all about the child. And if the child's parents will ever get better and will want to take him, they will take him. But it's not that's when it's a foster care. But it doesn't matter, because the parents that are foster family, the foster parents are really there just to help the child have a better time than being in an orphanage or child services until the biological parents are better and able to take care of him. We were lucky that we got this amazing child that was really, we always say that my mom is a teacher, so she told the children that we have a new boy, and the new boy was not born from her stomach, he was born from our heart. And that's really how it feels. He was born from our heart. So,
wow, such beautiful stories. Or you are a shining example, truly a light to our community. And it's really, you're doing wonderful work. I wonder if we're reaping the rewards from having you. How about you? What kind of rewards have you reaped from being here?
I'm not here for rewards. So,
but you get them anyway.
Just being here, and really we have a small Jewish community here. We have about 3,000 families in the entire state, and that we know of. We probably have a few more that we don't know of, but just being part of this warm, welcoming community is a amazing experience for me, and that's all I need, really. And
and a little bit of snow.
Yeah, I love the snow.
Well, come on, you have to say that skiing has been quite an experience, right?
Yes, it was, and I didn't break anything.
Good for you.
And what kind of future are you looking at?
So you said that I studied social work. Now I don't have to worry about it for the next year and a half. That's a scoop. Because I'm staying here a second year.
Yeah.
This is wonderful.
You're the first shlicha to stay 2 years.
Oh, yes.
That's a prize for us.
This is a prize, right?
Yeah, the light is going to grow even brighter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like someone said, it's a big compliment for the community, because I wouldn't stay here if it was not for the community. And if I didn't feel so at home and so welcome in this community, I wouldn't stay a second year. And I love it here. It's a beautiful place, really.
And you heard it first on Israel is Real, or Aya Dagan, the Israeli emissary, staying another year.
Yes. Yeah, it's a really fresh
scoop.
Yes, because it's just actually just this week
hot
I announced it. So, yeah.
Wow.
So tell me, how are you able to act as a connector for people who would like to visit or live in Israel?
So that's another part. I didn't mention that before, but of course that's another part of what I do here. People that want to go to Israel, there are a lot of programs, mainly for young people, under 30, but there are also programs for adults. And people that want to go to Israel are welcome to contact me and see how I can help them to find the right program for them.
This is wonderful.
So should I give my email?
Yes.
My email is israeli@jewishnh.org. And if you Google Jewish New Hampshire, you'll get to our website, and then you can find me as well.
And the website there is?
Just type Jewish New Hampshire. That's the only thing you'll get. The Jewish Federation of New Hampshire. So yes, just contact me and I'll be happy to help with that.
Well, I think our listeners are going to be happy to contact you.
I hope so.
So again, you can contact Or Aya Dagan at Israeli, that's ISRAELI, at jewishnewhampshire.org. That's jewishnh.org. And if you want to connect with what we're doing here, what's going on in New Hampshire and what she can offer you, and if you want to find out about how to get to Israel, where do you recommend people go in Israel?
Everywhere. I think really Israel is such a beautiful place. It's there are so many places to see, and they have this program of Birthright, which is for people from 18 to 26, and in 10 days they cover almost the entire country. And imagine it's a state about the same size of New Hampshire, so imagine trying to be everywhere in just 10 days. So they go to the south and to the Dead Sea and to Jerusalem, of course, and to the north as well. So it's really all over. And this is, I don't know how you can get the real feeling of Israel if not being everywhere, because you have the north and you have the cities and you have the desert. So it's really very, very different sights to see.
Right, different geography and all that. It's very exciting because in America is so big, you can hardly get to see all of it. And mm-hmm. imagine seeing a whole country in 1 week. It's amazing.
Yes.
Well, Or Aya Dagan, it's been a pleasure speaking with you today in our studio. If you're staying another year, that means we're going to get to probably talk to you again, as long as our supporters keep sending in their donations. And we really appreciated that.
Thank you very much. Thank you for the opportunity. It's really, really great.
Thank you. So we're now on Parashat, the last leg, Parshat
Vayakhel. And this week's Torah portion, we learn about the holiness of the Shabbat. As it states in the verse, on 6 days, work may be done, but the seventh day shall be holy for you, a day of complete rest for God. Whoever does work on it shall be put to death. Shabbat is the paradigm of Judaism. Why is that so? Because on Shabbat we must control our actions, speech and thoughts, the three realms of behavior. We may not do certain action on Shabbat, such as driving, which involves lighting fires. We may not speak about certain topics on Shabbat, such as business dealing. And it is preferable not even to think about weekday activities on Shabbat. Those Shabbat teaches us to control our behavior in life. Therefore, Shabbat is the paradigm of Judaism, because the essence of Judaism is modifying our behavior to live according to God's rules and not to our own. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom. And I want to again thank our guest today, Or Aya Dagan, the Israeli emissary here in New Hampshire, or Shlicha. And she can be reached at israeli@jewishnh.org. Israeli is Israeli at jewishnh.org. And this is Israel is Real. We're on WSMN 1590 every week, every Friday from 10 to 11 in the morning, live in the studios in New Hampshire, Nashua's News and Talk. Also on the internet at wsmnradio.com. You can also find our archived interviews at www.israelisraelnh.com. Israelisraelnh.com. Our theme song is by yours truly, Rachel. It's called Hine Matov, and you can find Rachel at rachelmusic.net. RAHEL music.net. Again, this is Israel is Real, the free voice for Israel, WSMN 1590, Nashua's News and Talk. Shabbat Shalom.
Ashir bli dai e prosia dai le yedi dai asher me ever yam ani shoelu mi pale tot se lo da di pa.
sol.